So the question was asked if there seem to be statistics that majority of the people asking for donations are charlatans.
I don't believe that.
Why do we let them come through and ask in synagogue and shul? And also, shouldn't the shul make a rule that they can't enter and disrupt the davening? So, firstly, we have to know that Chazal instituted that one is supposed to give charity before davening. A person is supposed to give 3 coins before davening. That's already a later, the Kabbalists taught us this. But Chazal say in the Gemara, Ani v'tzedek echazef anecha. David HaMelech says, I come to greet you v'tzedek. And b'tzedek, Chazal said, is tzedakah. And the rabbis instituted that a person should try to give tzedakah before entering prayer. And if one does, then he has a better chance of his prayers being answered. So a person is supposed to try to give tzedakah 3 times a day. Now you don't have to give 3 shekel 3 times a day. You give 30 agurot or 15 agurot, 3, 5 agurot pieces. If you want to fulfill the opinion of the Kabbalists, so the Kabbalists say you should try to give 3 coins before prayer. And if you want to go one step further, there are some Hasidim. So the Ben Ish Chai says that when you give the 3 coins, you should give the 3 coins corresponding to Esav's tears. Esav teared 1 tear from one eye and 2 tears from the other eye. When Yaakov stole his blessings, so he says corresponding to that, one's supposed to give 1 coin and then 2 coins when you're giving the tzedakah. But this is all beyond me. What do I know? What I know is what the Gemara says, what says in Halacha, is that one should try to give tzedakah before davening. Now, when it comes to the halachas of tzedakah, so there's a lot of halachos that we would want the Gemara to tell us that the Gemara does not. There's a lot about all the laws of tzedakah and Hilchos Maaser that we would like to know what the rabbis said about it. And when you look in the Gemara, you don't really have sources on the matter. So a few things we do have. There is a siman in Shulchan Aruch that discusses the laws of tzedakah. And one of the things that the Gemara says and that we say in Halacha is that when a person comes over and asks you for money, you can assume he's a charlatan because there are many, many charlatans out there, the Gemara says. And that's why when someone asked me yesterday, I answered quickly. I said, praised are the charlatans, thanks to them, we can assume everyone is a charlatan. I wasn't saying my own thought. That's the way the Gemara words it. The Gemara says it. The Gemara in Baba Basra, you could look it up. They're over there about Daf Yod, I don't remember exactly. But the Gemara says this, that thanks to the charlatans, if someone comes and asks you for money, you don't have to give him anything, because you don't know if he's for real or not. Whether the statistics are 90% or 80%, I don't know exactly, but I can tell you that they're pretty high up there. I mean, I've been in Israel for over a decade, and I can tell you I know some of the people collecting at the Kotel for years.
Police estimate, a beggar at the Western Wall collected about 7,000 shekel per day.
Okay.
Shekel.
7,000 shekel a day. That's more. It's about $2,000. So I don't think it's an exaggeration. I don't believe in giving handouts. There is another issue though that we have to be aware of. No. Halacha doesn't say that. So that's a different point. We get that in 1 second. Technically, if a Jew asks you for money, you don't have to give him anything. We say, who said he's for real? Now, if a Jew asks you for food, we say, food, you can't wait and verify whether he's for real or not. So food, you got to give him. People sometimes ask me for food. Every time it's worked. I even had an Arab come to me in the street and ask me for food. Near neighborhood, Shari Chesed. So he said, I have to feed my kids. I said, fine, there's a supermarket here, let's go buy food. So he says, fine, I want this cake and that cake. I said, no. I don't have money to buy cake for my kids. If you want, I'll buy you a loaf of bread. He didn't walk with me to the supermarket.
Really?
Yeah, I'm telling you, even an Arab. And they're not as well off. They're not making 7,000 shekel a day. But when he came to me, I said, I'm going to treat him. The Halacha says that when a non-Jew asks you for tzedakah, you're also supposed to give him tzedakah because we don't want them to hate us anymore. So, mipnei eiva, our sages instituted, treat him also. Even if a non-Jew asks you for tzedakah, you're supposed to give him something. So you shouldn't feel like, they're not helping me because I'm not Jewish. So I said, fine, I'll treat him the same way I treat Jews. I said to him, you want, I'll go with you to the supermarket. There's one down the block. We'll go together. I'll buy you food. And he wouldn't walk with me to the store. Wasn't worth his time. Wasn't worth his time to buy a loaf of bread. But I when it comes to food, the halacha says you never know if a guy is hungry or not. If a guy asks you for food, you're supposed to give him food. But when it comes to money, so then you don't have to give a Jew, you don't have to give anyone, you don't have to trust him. You have to give your tzedakah money. And I always recommend giving to organizations. I myself give out, we have guys in Mechon Meir, and even here, I'm very, very tough. When guys come to me and want a loan or want help with things, I say, show me the bills. I want to see if things are for real. Even when I know a guy well, I have a very, very firm policy, and you'd be surprised. It's been many years now that I've been working with people. 3 out of 4 times that a person comes to me and tells me there's a medical issue or there's something else that they need to cover, and people sometimes come to me and I can't refuse, so I say, fine, show me the paperwork, I want to verify. At least 3 out of 4, and it's probably 9 out of 10, they, it turns out they never end up coming back.
No.
And I'm talking about instances where a guy shows me I need this shot or that shot. Now, those of you who have been here a while, you know that in previous years, and even now, I collect for families with medical situations. Those are situations where I verified. I know it's true. I know the financial situation, and I know what's going on. And even when I'll give to a family, I'll stipulate things. I'll say, okay, you guys are bound by a medical situation. Let's arrange someone that'll help you to purchase the food at a cheaper price. Don't go buy your food at the makolet and pay twice the price. Let's arrange that you buy it either wholesale or something else. So it's very important. Our organizations like Pamonim. I'm not an organization. I'm an individual. I don't have receipts. I don't have anything. I deal one-on-one. And I'm not looking for it. I think one of our obligations at the Machon is to help guys when they finish at Machon Meir have a parnasa. And sometimes guys need help. So a guy needs a laptop in order to get a job. A guy needs the programs. Sometimes guys need training to transfer their degrees from Chutz Arts to Israel. So we usually try to do it in the form of loans, my gemach. But being that I'm not going to chase after people to pay me back loans, so I only work with money that people don't expect to get back. Sometimes I'll just make shiduchim. I'll say, you need a loan of 20,000 shekel. Here's so-and-so is willing to lend 20,000 shekel. Talk to him, leave me out of the picture. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm not going to run after you to collect the 20,000 shekel. And so far, Baruch Hashem, I mean, people have been very fair. But it's very complicated. So I'm not for giving me money. I'm one option, and there are other options. And who's to know who's more important? Chazal gave us levels of tzedakah. What I do happens to be the top level. That's what it says in Halacha, that the top level of tzedakah is to help a person get parnasa. The top form of tzedakah is that you bring him to a situation where he doesn't need tzedakah, where you help him get a job. So that's what I try to focus what I do on. But there are many important things. You know what? A person needs bread to eat. That's very important. You can't ignore that. There are soup kitchens here. There's Meil Panim. There's Koach Latet. They help people with furniture. We had students here at Mechon Meir who had children sleeping on the floor without blankets in the winter. And we arranged for them with social services. It's much more beneficial. When you give a poor person money, what's he going to do with it? He'll go out and buy a bed? When you put him together with an organization, so you're helping him long term, that organization will hopefully set him up with the things he needs for his kids, set him up with education. You got to help people long term. And giving a donation, A, the guy might be tricking you. And even if you know the guy needs something, if you want to really help him, send him to an organization and give a donation to that organization. You're going to be helping him much more. I'm a big believer in that the bulk of your tzedakah money should go to organizations and not to individuals. Unless you really know, a person knows his brother doesn't have money to feed his kids, so that's a different story. We have a din, mibsachal titalam, don't ignore your own family members. So when a person knows his own family members need help, so then that's a good thing. You know, they should have highest priority. Sometimes they don't need to get all your tzedakah. Chazal said a person should refrain from giving all his tzedakah to one place. A person should diversify his spiritual investments as well. But that's what Chazal said. Chazal said that David HaMelech was punished because he gave all his tzedakah to his Rebbe, to Ira Yairi. He gave all his miser to him. And he said, well, what's better than him? He's a kohen, he's a chacham, he's everything. What could be better than that? Chazal said, no, he erred. Even David HaMelech's Rebbe, you don't give all your tzedakah to one place. But when an individual comes to us, so then we have to think of one other thing. what type of person will I be when I say no? So sometimes I'll be a practical person. I think you're a liar and I'm not going to give you anything. But sometimes I will also become a little bit more callous and a little bit less caring for my fellow man. And then I have to think of the tzedakah as a way of working on myself. And for those instances, I always recommend it's good to have a half a shekel or 10 agurot in your pocket. And I always try to take with me when I go to shul. In my wallet, I have a wallet that I take to shul. In that wallet, I have 10 agurot pieces. That way I could always put three of those before davening. Ani b'tzedek echazef anecha. Before davening, I give my tzedakah. I can't give an organization every morning before davening. But you know what? The shul I'm davening in, they have to pay expenses. They have to pay for the air conditioning, for the light. The right thing is that I should participate. Right? So that's fair. You have to remember that it's always better to give a live individual than a pushka or an organization. As far as us as human beings, we should be kind people. And when you put money and you give a donation to an organization or you put in a pushka, you're not feeling it. And if we want to be better people, so then there is the human effect that someone needs money and you give it to him. On the other hand, don't go giving him a lot of tzedakah because chances are he's a liar.
Yeah. My issue is you have like 50 guys coming in and they're like robots and they just go around and
clean.
Yeah.
Do this one.
No, it's like it takes away. There's no human feeling in it either.
Well, the shuls on the other hand have a problem because what are you going to say? We don't do chesed. Don't come into our shul. We're not going to give tzedakah. So the only thing that shuls could do, I mean, some shuls make a rule: don't go around during Shmona Esrei. You want to go around before Baruch Hu, before Yishtabach. When people are saying Pesukei Tzimah, that's the time when they should be giving tzedakah anyways. Fine, that's a legitimate rule. You come at a different time, wait outside, that's a fair rule. But to say, don't walk around our shul, that's a problem. It's the antithesis of what we're doing in the shul.
How about you have to daven? And then
about this?
If the guy didn't say mitzvah.
Just saying.
What do you do when you give someone, they tell you it's not enough?
I say give it back, no problem. I say give it back. No problem.
They say give me the 50
bill. No, guys tell me that and I say no problem, give it back. I've had people give it back to me. Someone once told me, if that's all you have, I could support you. So I said, fine. No problem. I've had answers like this. It says, imikesh titpatal. When a person's stubborn, so you gotta head him back. You don't have to budge. There's no problem. If half a shekel makes no difference to you, it makes a difference to me. I will buy something at a different store because it's a half a shekel less. I will walk a distance to save a half shekel. To him, it doesn't matter. So fine.
Isn't it insulting to get
just
by?
Saying, yeah, Yosef.
Regarding tzedakah, about the levels of tzedakah, there's a rule that you have to give to the ones close to you, you have a big obligation. Right? So, and of course, for your family, it's on Israel, and then the rest, let's say, of the world. So the question is, let's say, and I've heard this from many people, how do you judge that? You're not able to concentrate, as you said just before, all your money to one, let's say, the people close to you, and you cannot, solve all their economic problems. So how do you divide that? And let's say you have, there's right now famines in Africa, and that is really an issue. These people are dying of hunger. So halakhically, what are the parameters? What are the?
I think each person should ask his local Orthodox rabbi. It's some of the things aren't as defined, meaning there are a lot of technical details which we're glossing over with this question. How much of the money sent to Africa is Kofi Annan giving his son? How much of that is being siphoned to the side and not reaching its goal? How many organizations do you have in Israel, people that need transplants of and are dying waiting for transplants and they don't have the money to get the transplants? So this is a complex question that needs a lot of assessment. Someone who's holding by this question should sit down with his rabbi and work it out. It's not a question that you could just answer. Right. There are too many details.
No, but I'm saying in principle, is it right for us to have an approach where all engineering say, to organizations that are close to us, and even to organizations in Abu Sayyid.
Again, there are many details. Look, I'll give you an example.
If you have a credible, critical organization that would be able to be even leads, let's say, to other places outside, wouldn't that also be needed to have a healthy approach?
It's important. We need to have. We don't want people dying of hunger anywhere in the world. But when we're gauging importance, so we have to gauge a lot of things. One of the things we'll gauge, for example, is what percentage of the charity gets to the poor. An average organization in Chutz La'aretz, if you get 40%, 50% of the poor, that's considered a huge amount. I don't know if you're familiar with how organizations work, but that's how they work. I mean, the CEO has to make his $1 million or $500,000 or $100,000. It doesn't matter, but there are many workers that are making very high wages. So there's the Red Cross 7%. Okay, so you see, it's very complicated to analyze them when we're discussing this question. It's true, it's important. We don't want people dying of hunger in Africa. But at the same time, you have people dying of other things here. So Chazal said that there are ways of gauging it. Mara says, let's say you live in a city that has enough water to drink and enough water to launder your clothes. And the city next door doesn't have enough water to drink or to launder their clothes. Do you give them of your water? So the Gemara says, it's not so simple to give them of your water. Because if you won't launder your clothes, you will have pestilence and you will have plagues. And then people will start dying in this city. So you can't start thinking about the other city and say, well, what? So I won't launder my clothes, but they're dying of thirst. Yeah, but when you're giving them your water and you don't launder your clothes, then what's ultimately going to happen is people do die here from plagues. So the Gemara says, even though right now they're dying of thirst, and you're using that same water for laundry, but that laundry we consider pikuach nefesh. So the same thing over here. You have people that are literally dying in this country. I mean, there are forms of medication that the government doesn't give. I know. I worked with families. I mean, we had a family that at one point, they needed 50,000 shekel worth of medication a month that the government wasn't covering. Can you imagine what that means? That the mother is ill. The father has to take care of the mother and five children. The government is not covering his rent and is not covering 50,000 worth of medication, 50,000 shekel worth of medication per month. How's a person supposed to cover that? I mean, that's, and I'm telling you a hard fact. Like, what's he supposed to do? So when you talk to me about helping people in Africa, yeah, it's important to help people in Africa. But the question is, we have a rule. You don't pass up something in order to do something else. If you have medication, and there are 50 children that need that medication, and it's going to save their lives. So we say, you give the first kid you hit first, and then the next kid, and then the next kid. You don't pass a kid to give another kid. Yeah. So the rule is, you first give your family, you first give your community, you first give your city, you first give your country, you give your people. Afterwards, then there are other things that are important.
First of all, I understand that afterwards, we're not able to, with my limited amount of staka, I'm not able to do to help, you know, and fix it. And
right.
After all that, there will constantly be a need of money here in the center.
Right.
So in principle, then I would never have.
You might not, right? But maybe then there's other responsibility, and there are other people out there. We can't save the world. You're right. We might not get to that stage. And it's an important stage to get to. But that's what I'm saying. It's like looking at the laundry water and saying, that's not pikuach nefesh now. The laundry water at this minute isn't pikuach nefesh, but the Gemara says you have to look beyond this minute. There are issues which are pikuach nefesh long term. So there's a lot to discuss. That's why I said each person should talk to his rabbi. I'm not saying I'm answering your question. I'm giving examples of complexities within the question, why this question each person is going to have to sit down and analyze with his rabbi.
Even in Jerusalem, like America, you have a lot more in Israel.